Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Jacob posting the Steiner math meme. Have you actually seen that, Jacob?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't picture you to be a wrestling fan.
No, but I've been on the internet long enough to know memes.
Do you even know all the people referenced in it?
I don't know any of them.
Actually, let me look at the text again, because I had to back out of that page. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You're on the internet. You know memes. Name five of their songs.
track 1, track 2, track 3, track 4,
and untitled.
Sounds like somebody doesn't know how to use their CD burner.
What's up, everybody? This is the April Fool's edition of the SML Podcast, and everybody's here. Aki's here, Bree's here, Chris is here, Jacob's here, Pernell's here. How's everybody doing?
Long.
Good.
Oh, this is everyone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just about.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hi, everyone.
He's doing soccer with his kids for a few months, so.
Yeah.
We need to get Horaculite in here. Where's Horaculite?
I don't know. Where's Horaculite?
Bring him in here.
I think he was in chat earlier.
Horaculite, you in chat? You putts? Apparently not. He must have to go potty. He must be pulling a Jacob.
So did anybody see any fun pranks today? Or has everybody just avoided the internet because the real world is fucking scary enough?
I saw one prank and it amused me. And it's because I got on Steam today and it was great. The Dave the Diver devs put out a Dave the Diver remastered trailer, and it's all live action, and it was just absolutely amazing, and I loved every second of it.
I'll have to look that up. I didn't see that.
Do it. It's so good.
I saw someone who was running like the Steam charts just went in and changed like Counter-Strike 2 to Counter-Strike 3, and that's all they did.
Wow.
They just changed the name to Counter-Strike 3 to freak people out.
Yeah, I bet that succeeded too.
it's little things that make you giggle.
Yeah.
One good joke is that Nintendo said they're gonna talk about the next Switch tomorrow.
Hilarious. A whole hour? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, right,
it's
pal.
Be exciting tomorrow. I think that's gonna be fun. Looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to being at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I'll watch the recap.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That might be when I'm going to work. So
don't care.
Hockey's going to pre-order it for all the anime games.
No comments on these things.
Oh, good.
I need laundry more than that.
Well, I just put it in, so it's running, but yeah.
Nice.
Do we need to wait until you're finished?
Fabric softener.
I just wanted to know if you use fabric softener.
Well, this is a secret you'll have to, take a guess on.
I guess not, because it's towels.
Or is
that's
it?
That's the perfect time to use fabric softener. Get exactly. Them nice and fluffy.
Yeah, get that fluffy. Yeah, see? I could have used it, or I could not have used it. We'll never know, but... they'll be clean. That's what matters. I go through so many freaking towels since I go to the gym and crap like I try to. I guess doing anything, but that's a quick blow through all your towels. But
I quick blew nice. Through all my towels.
I'm sure you did, Jacob. I'm sure you did.
Why, did you forget the toilet paper again? You just use all your towels?
Oh, see, I just assumed that if he threw his towel on the ground, it would shatter into pieces.
Oh. Oh, that's his socks. So
I mean, he eventually will run out of socks, so then it would be towels, no, would it not?
Yeah,
it
wraps his feet in towels then. Yeah, did anybody see any other good pranks today or anything good or funny?
Sadly, I didn't see anything that good. I saw a bunch of like little, you know, goofy things, and there was just nothing stand out to me this year.
There was a there's an article that went out from an Atlanta-based site that that said Waffle House is officially removing waffles from their menu. And I thought it was pretty good because they almost did have me for a second. I was like, ugh, figures. But then I was like, wait a minute.
I really like Stern Pinball's April Fool's Day post this year. They're joking that they're going to release a pinball table based on the Matt LeBlanc movie Ed.
That was funny. I saw that one. Nice. I shared that one. I thought that was a pretty good one.
I don't even know what that is.
Nor do I.
The baseball movie.
Yeah, with a monkey. Or chimp. I'm not sure which it is.
Oh, so is the movie starring you?
No?
Hmm. Interesting. Different chimp then. Okay. For you guys, that was funny.
No, it wasn't.
You just don't understand good classic humor.
Funny is...
That wasn't good or classic.
I had a funny encounter on Reddit today. I couldn't tell if it was an April Fool's joke or not because of like how early in the morning it was. But someone asked advice on if they should upgrade their Xbox. And I'm like, well, you want to play Left 4 Dead, which you can't get digital anymore. So you'd want a Series X if you upgrade. And some guy replied to me freaking out that the Series S is still a good console. And that if I keep my negativity up, he's going to report me for hate speech.
Okay.
It's Reddit. That was serious.
He's going to report me for hate speech for saying to buy an Xbox Series X over an S.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a kind of person that can't read a calendar. So, yeah, you might take that one seriously.
People are stupid. Like, they're... The world is getting dumber the longer the people who are in charge are in charge, because it's just emboldening the stupid to talk and be heard, and they're all dumb, and they all need to just disappear again.
I don't know how to break it to you, but that you can't put that shit back in the box. It's out now.
I mean, you can put it in a different box.
Yeah, but then
made out of pine.
Yeah, that's going to come with his own box inserts too. It's not, it doesn't end that way. But it sucks. I just deal with it now and accept that people, we've come to see that people aren't all we thought they were. Because they were always there, but they were kind of in the dark because, well, they were considered the village idiots. But now there's entire forums where they can all commiserate. And all they got to do is make enough noise and they'll disrupt an entire otherwise perfectly reasonable conversation.
Yep.
It just sucks dick. I hate it.
Says idiocracy is here. And now for 2025, it has a Ghibli AI filter on it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on that trash.
I saw someone in a Google banned Facebook page post a Ghibli AI rendering of the artists. And I, like, everyone in the comments was like, this is trash. Miyazaki hates AI. Delete this. This is garbage. It's art theft. It's trash. Get rid of AI. And the admins are just shrugged their shoulders. So I fucking left the group.
Fair.
Yeah, it's fair. Sadly, it's kind of how it is all over the place nowadays. Like, just going on my page, I just saw tons of the freaking Studio Ghibli shit. People who would otherwise be well aware of both the guy's stance and just what it means for artists in general. And it's like, nah, I'm not going to argue with it. But at the same time, you're not going to get any recognition from me because I think AI art is pretty lame.
Honestly, I didn't even know he had a problem with AI art, but I still wouldn't have wanted it because it's still theft.
Someone shared some Taco Bell meme with the AI filter on it. and I made a calm post in their comments, and I just linked to an interview with Miyazaki. I'm like, he's not a fan of this. I don't think he'd appreciate you sharing it. And he deleted my comment, so I unfriended him. Fair. Fuck him.
Very fair.
I've just given up these days. Like, I'm not fighting with anyone. I'm just deleting you from my life at this point. I'm sick of idiots.
And yet you're still on here with us.
You're good idiots, though. Well, he's
the right kind of idiot.
I'm sick of destructive idiots who just hate on things.
April Fool's is canceled because not enough non-fools. Stupid.
Yeah. No, we have some foolery to take care of tonight. Jacob had a wonderful little idea.
That finally got passed.
He harassed me long enough that we finally did it. We're going to review games.
I harassed you early enough. There's a difference.
Yeah, and often enough. So we got a handful of games that we're going to talk about before we have a handful of games we got to talk about tonight.
So this is the takeaway all of you can take from this. Annoy your bosses by making the same demand over and over, and you will eventually get what you want.
It helps if you form a union.
What you didn't.
Chris, you want to form a union?
Against me, the SML union against Joe. We I'll demand better games. No.
You'll play those A4 games and you'll like it.
More Sokoban.
Wait, Sokoban's not a bad thing, though. So
You played 3 Sokobans a week for 4.5 years, it's too much.
Yeah, I ain't doing that now. That is too much. I ain't doing that. A Sokoban here and there is Soko Bliss. Much Sokoban is Soko Bliss. Nokoban. Soko Bliss.
Yeah, y'all ready for reviews? Should we dive into these?
Yeah, let's do this.
Maybe. Depends on who's first.
Jacob's first.
The first one isn't yours. You're fine.
All right, let's go. This is his idea.
He's going first. First game to talk about tonight is Crybaby's Magic Tears, the big game. Developed by Drakkar Studio, published by Merge Games, released October 23, is available on all consoles for prices ranging $29.99 to $39.99, depending on where you buy it. Your favorite Crybaby's characters are ready to play. The big game is a friendly and a fun adventure, perfect for young players. Join Lady, Coney, Dreamy, and friends in an all-new adventure as they take part in an exciting multi-stage tournament to win the fabled Golden Pacifier. Jacob, tell us, what is Crybaby's Magic Tears, the big game?
Oh, man. So, Crybaby's Magic Tears is some sort of kids show. I think it's aimed at preschool and lower, but it's available on streaming services like YouTube. Thankfully missed it when my kids were young enough to watch this kind of stuff. And from what I could tell, it's these babies who, like, they eventually have these, like, I don't know how the heck to describe it, but it's just like they literally have magic tears. And, like, whenever they cry, like, whether usually it's supposed to be like tears of happiness or something like that, but, you know, sometimes it's when they're sad too. And, like, just magic happens. It's not complicated, but it's just not good. Like, it's just so bad. Anyway, so
explain the game.
Yeah. All right. So the game involves you being able to run around as one of, like, 16-ish of these little babies. And it doesn't matter who you run around in. I think there's only, like, one that's actually mission-specific. Like, there's actual missions in this. Quests would be... Yeah. So it really doesn't matter who you play as. It's all just skins. So pick your preference. And there are these various games that you have to compete in to get a silver pacifier, and if you collect all of the silver pacifiers, you'll win the golden pacifier. Okay, I don't know what the sport thing is supposed to be, but anywho,
gold sounds like it would make a terrible pacifier.
Yeah, well, I figure platinum would probably be worse.
Probably.
Yeah, the one made out of lead probably isn't too hot.
Or the one made of scorpions.
I was just going to keep going down the periodic table, but
I was going to go Mercury next, but whatever. Scorpions kind of wins.
All right, cool. I'm glad I wasn't the only one going dark with that, because I was going to say arsenic. anywho, so yeah, so there's these different activities that you have to participate in, and it's usually going like from point A to point B. Like, there's various maze missions. There are these photo things, which are kind of reminiscent of Pokemon Snap, if you only got to stand in one place and look in one direction. There's also like a hide and seek kind of thing. And so, like, you'll either have to pick up like X amount of fruit in a very generous time limit. Like, I'm talking like 5 minutes minimum. To get this stuff picked up, and or you're actually playing hide and seek and you just have to find these various babies that are hiding all over the place. And then it's, you just move on to the next land, and then so it's like, oh, this one is ice themed, this one is candy themed, this is like, it's absolute fluff. Visually, like, disturbingly, like, it's not like actually scary, it's just, it's just not good. Like, no. Anyway, so the gameplay, like, it's actually not bad in terms of like it's not glitchy, it's very simple. I mean, it's aimed at 4-year-olds, 3 or 4-year-olds, and so you rarely are ever going to have to push more than one button through it. I mean, I could see some kids getting tripped up in like the maze levels, because like, you'll have to, like, as you progress through those in the different worlds, like, you'll have to like hit switches which will open doors, it might close some doors, all the while you're picking up like items that are necessary for when you get to the end of the maze. And so, as an adult, this was not a challenging game. It might be a challenging game for like a 3-year-old. But the other thing is that the timer actually doesn't matter. The timer only has to do with how much extra currency you get at the very end for completing the task. So then you can buy little outfits to dress your baby in. It's simpler than the Paw Patrol games. Like the first couple. Yeah, it's just, there's not a lot to this thing. And that is an hour of my time I'm never going to get back.
You only put an hour into this? I would have expected you would put like 3 days of time into this.
No, I honestly thought there was going to be more to the game. And you can really just breeze through it. I'm going over to True Achievements because that'll have like my actual number. An hour, 56 minutes. All right, so 2 hours. But I mean, I guess you could, you could definitely speed run this in an hour, but, I don't know why you'd want to.
All right. So let's talk price on this. Be honest. What did you pay for it?
I bought it last time it was on sale. It currently retails for $35.
I want to know what you paid for it.
I paid $7.
Gotcha. So
plus tax.
It retails for anywhere from $29.99 to $39.99 based on the platform you buy it on. You paid $7 for it. What's your verdict?
If you've got a kid who is like 3, maybe 4, this is honestly not a bad game for kids of that age. Otherwise, no, 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 no.
What about achievement hunters like you?
It's real easy. You can get it done in 2 hours.
Did you 1K it?
Stops. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's real easy to 1K.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's still, like, that's still 1K that I now have on my gamer score that I can never scrub.
True.
And I honestly don't know
so many of those.
I don't know that it was worth it. I really don't. Like, if I could go to Microsoft and be like, could you please take away that 1,000, I'd consider it.
But nope, you're stuck with it. Next game to talk about, Mega Party, a too tough adventure developed by Vedasoft, published by Microids, released November 2019 on all platforms for $14.99. The day before school started back, Too Tough heard it was possible to clone sheep by selecting the very best specimens. Terrified about the idea of being infinitely duplicated, Too Tough shares his concerns with his friends. Fortunately, Hugo always has a solution. If only the best are destined to be cloned, you have to be just as naughty as possible to avoid being chosen. Pernell, were you naughty?
Well, you have to PS. If you don't, you can't play the game. But, yeah, pretty much. So the idea behind this game, the best way to describe it, it's, you know, Mario Party mini game style. Not the board game, just the mini games. But wrapped around a little nice little template of cartoon character art and mischievous characteristics. So the main mode that you can play in with this game is the school year mode, at which point you will choose one of the number of kids that exist in, you know, Too Tough school, like Manny or Vomitrix or Natalie. Once you've chosen one of those, you'll choose like the first adventure, which is pretty much where they introduce what you just described being the whole cloning story thing. At which point, you know, you'll get dropped back in the schoolyard. You'll be telling Mom, Too Tough will tell all of his friends what he saw on TV, have a freak out session, and then Hugo will give him his idea. At this point, as Too Tough, you're running, or the character you chose rather, you're running around the schoolyard, talking to the various children that exist there, and in some cases, teachers or various adults, and sort of just looking for various events. For example, you might be able to go across a merry-go-round, and if you hit the A button on it enough, you'll just spin it around. Doesn't do anything initially, but if later on, you might find a way to trigger something with it. But ultimately, you will come across the specific event that is needed to trigger a minigame, at which point you'll go against another student in the school and competing in this minigame. It can be anything from mash the A button as fast as you can to win a race, to timing the amount of air you inflate an inflatable dinosaur with, number of different things. Also, I think there was another one where like, you had to kill clones of the teacher using a laser gun in the middle of the night in the schoolyard. Weird games. Again, think Mario Party settings and Mario Party-esque button inputs. But at the conclusion of that, the winner will get about 10, the way I played anyway. The winner gets 10 points, the loser gets 5. Why does the loser get 5? I have no idea. But anyway, once that happens, all the kids in the schoolyard and the adults will generally get rearranged into like new places doing different things. And now your task was finding another event to trigger another minigame. Until eventually you've triggered every minigame that exists in that story, and hopefully you have enough points to win. When I did, the most times I did it, I pretty much ended up with like either the losing end or I was tied with the guy. And then when I was tied, I lost the actual trophy despite being tied, but it still allowed me to complete the adventure and move on to the next adventure. So it doesn't prohibit you unless maybe they just took pity on me because I had a tie in that sense. So that is pretty much what the main game is, though in addition to finding the events that exist with the individual kids or mischievous events, there are also like stupid stunts you can do where you might come across, like, for example, like find the 12 doorbells and ring them to trigger like the new doorbell Dixie and you'll get a check mark for it. And if you complete every stupid thing within the stupid thing checklist on a level, you'll unlock a new character that you can use and select in the multiplayer mode. So aside from doing the adventure mode, or rather the school year, if you don't feel like doing that, there are a variety of different modes, all of which to shuffle the mini games in different ways, such as duels, where you can actually select how many players and who's going to control them, and then choose the specific games you want to engage in. Mega duels is pretty much like every duel, every level. And then there's like a number of other ones where it's like, unless you choose specific numbers of the levels you want to do. So it might be like, hey, I want to do only the levels that involve mashing A, or I only want to do levels that involve using the left thumbstick, or levels that use both. It's kind of a weird thing, but maybe that's the kind of thing you want to do for that particular session that you're hanging out with your friends, but I digress. The funny thing about this is that the mini games themselves are perfectly fine. Like, mini games are going to mini game, and I have no qualms with, you know, mashing A or timing to make sure the teacher doesn't see me while I'm walking, approaching the front of the class to get my friend's steam dump, switch dump, switch back. But there's also the fact that there's just the mini games that I enjoy. The main game itself, the whole adventure thing, just kind of seemed meh. Like, maybe it's a good way to characterize some of the kids or whatever. If that's your steam, that's your cup of tea, then so be it. Knock yourself out. But I kind of grew bored of it and was just like, God, now I got to find the next random thing. So admittedly, they at least let you talk to Hugo and he'll tell you the next thing you should be trying to do. But you got to find Hugo because he generally also gets rearranged and goes somewhere else in the schoolyard and eventually in the street. So it was eventually the point where I was like, I just want to do this for the sake of saying I accomplished some of the, you know, adventure chapters to see what they do or what they're like. But if I were to own this game, which I guess I technically do now, I would focus solely on just playing the mini games. Yep. I am indeed living a too tough adventure right now.
It's too tough. You'll never get that off your profile.
Trust me, I'm not worried about it being on the profile. Just someone's going to go, Bruno, what the hell is Mega Party Too Tough? I'm going like, well, it was a drunken evening. And Joe said, hey, Bruno, you want this thing? And I was like, shoot, if you're going to pay for it, knock yourself out. I mean, it's not a button. Like I said, I could see myself using it here and there. Like, hey, you want to play something goofy? Let's just boot this game up and shoot spitwad at the teacher for a couple minutes. So it's got its place. It's just, if you have access to other games that involve mini games and the like, I don't see much of a need for someone to go out and buy this game. But if you're like, hey, I just have a need for some mini game mayhem on the Xbox, and you can't find any other mini game mayhem game, then again, I shouldn't say that because there could be something out there that's not as good as this. Yeah. I'm not even going to shoot that in the foot. I can say this is something worth having just for the sake of doing a couple mini games in rotation because the mini games are perfectly serviceable and fun. So you cool. thought I was going to say this was a bad game.
Not necessarily.
Well,
these could all be good as far as I know. They're just offbeat and odd or unique. We got to talk price about this one first. But first, I want to thank GoldenEye for subbing to us. Appreciate you being here and supporting us. The price of that sub could have bought Mega Party Too Tough on sale. Because while it is a $14.99 game, I bought it for you, Purnell, for $2.25. So let's be honest, what's this one worth? Is it worth it?
For $2.25, yeah, it's perfectly worth it. Like I said, if you play each of the mini games twice, I think you got your money's worth. And I can see people doing that if they buy the game, because again, the mini games are perfectly fun.
What about at 15? Is it still worth it at 15?
I would not buy this for $15. Point that right out.
Sounds good. Next game to talk about is AAT.
At long last.
No, we got to get Bree in here first because she's got to leave soon. AAT Test Game 32, developed and published by RA Catalog Quality 2, released December 2019 on Xbox as a free download and is somehow still findable on their store. The description is test. Bree, tell us about it.
This game is categorized as an action-adventure game rated for all ages, and the download comes in at a whopping 15.6 megabytes. The cover art for the game is something else. It says square 150 by 150 logo, 200 scale, 300 by 300 pixels, which is really telling about the game. When you enter the game, you get a cursor you can move around on a white screen. That's it. At least Abs Animals had a rotating cat you could stare at. The achievement art boasts superhero art 16:9 at 920 by 1080 pixels, except for achievements 7 and 8, which is titled Xbox Titled Hero Art. It has 10 achievements, of which no one has ever discovered how to get. The best review for the game in the Xbox store is by Y Countdown Y, who clearly got further in the game than anybody. And they said, wonderfully innovated with intuitive controls to back. During one of the final missions, a cutscene plays where the protagonist says, "It's testing time," before testing all over the place. This is one of the single most endings of this generation, and it's so severely rated. When this game gets picked up by the media for its bold stances and controversy, let it be known that I was the first among testers. They rated the game 5 stars. In fact, all the ratings are 5 stars, but not from me. I'm absolutely incensed that I've never been able to, after all these years, to figure out how to unlock a single achievement staring at a blank screen. The price is wrong for this game. It should be at least $1, so I could have the satisfaction of getting a refund. It's a big fucking tease. Don't download it. It could drive you mad. I could have instead... Go ahead.
I just want to say about the, like, achievement things. So thanks to Bree, I got to play this too. I'm real surprised that nobody's, like, tried data mining this thing. Like,
well, wait, there's another game I want to talk about. I could have instead chosen CISO game underscore full XBL 0417 underscore Y1 and at least gotten 2 achievements for my effort and a little more art.
You didn't link me this one. You're keeping secret games from us?
I posted it in the chat.
Oh my God. I'm totally unprepared for this.
But no, I found AAT Test Game 32 and was sucked in by the 5-star ratings. But yes, for the CISO game, you can actually get 2 of the achievements by staring at the screen for a long enough period of time.
All right, well, if we're going to talk about this one, give me a second. CISO game underscore full XBL 0417 underscore Y1, developed and published by TH Test 10, released 4/20/2017. Really did release 4/20. All right. Full XBL game with advanced metadata. Bree, fill us in.
That's it. I didn't play that one. I could have, but I just found out about it after doing my deep dive on AAT Test game.
So you didn't get any achievements in this one? Oh.
I've heard that you can get 2 achievements. I know someone who's gotten 2 achievements.
Are you going to get 2 achievements?
I'm going to fucking do it right now. I'm loading it up on my computer.
I'm going to think about it. After tonight, all bets are off. But
you can load this thing on PC with the Xbox app.
There you go. But yeah, until later tonight when I do my thing, I'm not getting any achievements. I have been achievement free all day. I have been waiting for this moment to come.
Tell us what's going on tonight.
I'm getting 3 million gamer score tonight. I'm going to hit it on the mark if everything goes well.
Yay!
It's exciting.
3 million. What are you going to use to hit 3 mil?
I found an achievement called April Fool in a game called Lucy Dreaming. And I thought that was an appropriate thing since today is the day I'm going to do it. Why? Because that's my normal day to stream. I don't know. Whatever.
Very good. Very good. Any other games on tap for tonight?
Probably going to play some Goat Sim because that's what I did for my last 2 and 1 million. So going to just goof around with some Goat Sim 3.
Very cool. So,
yeah.
AAT Test Game 32. Your verdict?
Unless you want to have this in your collection for some weird status reason or something, it's a deny it even if free.
That's fair. All right. Well, Bree, we'll let you get going so you could prepare for your stream.
I look forward to hearing the rest of everybody's reviews later.
Indeed. We will keep you posted on things. We got 2 more to go. So thank you for joining us and good luck on your 3 mil stream tonight.
Thank you very much.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
In fact, I do. I have a prepared statement for all of you drinking along at home. So, yeah, I'm like, honestly, like, I'm not going to lie. This show is really unique.
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 So, yeah. Bye.
Damn it, Brie.
Next game to talk about. Long time coming, but it's here. Beaker Reloaded, developed and published by Kaleido Games, released November 2017, and is available on Steam now for $9.99. Sadly, it is no longer available on the Switch. The green hornets have destroyed your hive and taken the pollen. Fight the swarms alone or with a friend and destroy the dangerous hornet queen. The insect world is very dangerous, but what are you waiting for to get your revenge? Chris, what is Beaker Reloaded?
What is Beaker Reloaded? Well, let me just tell you that I'm going to read the intro in its entirety. So, welcome to Beaker Reloaded. I'm going to show you the anatomy of a shoot them up game, aka shoot 'em up, shmup, or just STG. Shmup games are one of the hardest type of games, but don't worry, they're actually very easy to play. This bee is the main character. You can freely move around the screen. Press the fire button to shoot. Leave it pressed to shoot more. Don't worry, they're unlimited. Easy, right? Here it comes, one enemy. Enemies can shoot bullets. Don't touch them. Okay, now shoot to kill that enemy. One kill gives you some extra score. High scores can get you extra lives, aka one up. Also, better leaderboards rankings, aka high scores. The blue B represents your current bombs stock. That's B as in the letter B, not B as in the insect. They kind of missed an opportunity there.
They did.
The orange P represents your current power-up level, as I've often said. Here it comes, another enemy. Kill it to get a power-up. Collecting these make you stronger. Here it comes, another enemy. Pick it up. Bomb added. Press the bomb button to create a shield. Release the button to launch it. That's it.
All right. So what's the game?
Okay, so yeah, Beaker Reloaded. Well, this is a shmup type game, if you didn't know. It stars an insect where you are shooting at other insects. Not to be confused with the classic Taito side-scrolling shooter called Insector X, which was one of those like weird ones that was like really goofy and cartoony on the Famicom and arcade, but then they made it all serious like for the Genesis, which is very silly. This game came out like 100 years ago on the Switch and has since been delisted, of course. It's a shmup that basically you play as a bee, you shoot, you throw bombs and stuff, trying to take down wasps who have destroyed your hivey home and stolen the honey and beat up the queen and stuff like that. You repay them by entering their own hives and literally murdering their children. It's kind of dark. You actually, there's one enemy that you fight as a pupa. Like, it's just in a cocoon and you have to, like, blast it. It's in one of the vertical scrolling levels, which I'll get to. But yeah, like, every few levels, you actually do have to infiltrate a hive, and the only enemies inside are, like, little tiny baby, like, larva, and you still gotta blast them for those points in order to get a high score. Yeah, so the joke, of course, of Beaker Reloaded is that I bought it with my own money way back in the day, and for some reason, like, I guess it had a how to play section, and the how to play section has like literally six tutorials in it, and one of them, it like kind of asks you when you start a new game, especially if you started on the lowest difficulty. The difficulties of this game are beginner, normal, locked, locked, and locked. Also features one player in co-op mode, which is actually legitimately cool. It asks you if you want to like see the introduction tutorial, and I was like, hell yeah. And then it like explains what a shmup is, and I'm like, that's so funny. And so every time somebody asks me what a shmup is, or when I'm when I feel compelled to explain, I tend to quote Beaker Reloaded as that. Been doing it for years on this podcast, as you know. But anyways, yeah, the game itself is actually pretty cool. Like I said, you basically are, you know, avenging honey theft with infanticide. It does actually feature a lot of stages, like the life of a bee. It does contain 1,000 stages. I'm just kidding. It's but it is a pretty lengthy like kind of thing. It does have like very beginner friendly like kind of options and stuff like that. It's very much like it's a side scrolling shmup. You're not supposed to run into any solid objects, of course. Your bee Hadouken, which is your main weapon. The loading screens, which are ample, demonstrate that your bee has, you know, Hadouken powers. And, you know, they upgrade as you go through stages. You kind of unlock spots on your total power bar. And then if you collect the orange pea, then that fills in the spot so that, you know, you're overall more powerful. You end up with like kind of basically a pretty weak back attack and like a very strong front attack. And that's about it. I think at the very final level, you get 2 diagonal shots too, but nothing fancy like, you know, options or bombs or anything like that, except for, like I said, you collect bombs, and the more you collect, the bigger the explosion, quote unquote, which, yeah, so you kind of like want to save that for bosses or, you know, hairy situations. Apart from that, it also features characters like the Revenge of the Ogre mascot of Akaoni Studio, which published this game on the Switch and actually, you know, is no longer listed as the publisher. So I assume that that may be a reason why the Switch version was delisted. Maybe. But yeah, you can play as like a character from one of their games. And there's a third unlockable that I haven't unlocked yet, but, you know, pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it is a B-shmup. It's pretty good. And yeah, like I said, it has some vertical stages too, where you kind of just, it's kind of Galaga style, where the insects come down in a pattern and you defeat them and pick up some pollen. When you get enough pollen, you can kind of send your swarm after the enemy at the center of the screen, which, like I said, in one of the stages is literally just a wasp kind of pupa in a cocoon, and yeah, it's weird. And like in later stages, it's things like a spider or like that. And then there's a stage where you dodge birds, which is actually pretty cool. Like, you can't actually kill them, they're just gonna swoop in and you gotta survive. So, you know, pretty good bee simulator, unless you're playing Bee Simulator, which is an actual other game on the Switch. Yeah.
My sister takes care of bees now. She got into beekeeping. That's neat.
Oh, that's cool.
It's more expensive than $10, which is what Beekeeper or Beaker Reloaded. So what's your verdict on Beaker Reloaded at $10 on Steam?
Well, of course, the Switch version, no matter how much buzz I generate for it, you'll never be able to purchase this one because it is delisted. You had to be there back in the day. This Steam version, I assume, is probably going to have better load time. So I'd say, yeah, $10. It's a good $10 shmup. So, you know, go ahead and get it if you want. And, you know, make sure to show people that tutorial because it's fun.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, we got one more fun game to talk about, and that's Redneck Joe versus the Swamp Zombies, developed and published by Cloud5 Studios. It released September 26th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $4.99. Embark on a thrilling journey of action and survival with Redneck Joe versus the Swamp Zombies. In this engaging third-person shooter, you take on the role of a brave and fearless Joe, typical swamp redneck whose courage will be tested in the midst of a frightening zombie apocalypse. Aki, tell us, what is Redneck Joe versus the Swamp Zombies?
Okay, this is trash. But you play as Joe, and you accidentally shoot an airplane out of the sky that is carrying a whole bunch of zombie making bullshit, and it lands in your swamp because you do not understand gun safety because you're a redneck. Fair enough. And your job is now to save a whole bunch of random people and escape each level. Every level has more and more people you have to save, and by saving them, you just have to run up to them, and then they decide to run to the safe zone, something they're apparently too stupid to do until someone comes by and says, "Hey, dumb fuck, go." It's not like you're not escorting them anywhere. You're not killing the things around them to get them to leave. You're just like, "Hey, asshole, go." And then they run off. And it's like, okay, you could have done that without me, but whatever. It's all good. It is, I guess I'll call it a twin stick shooter, I guess, is what I'll list it as. It has a few weapons that you can get. Can, not necessarily will, but can. You start off with a machete. It has a very short range. I don't know why you have a machete, or why you're dressed how you are. You're dressed in flannel, so you're more of a lumberjack than a redneck. Rednecks wear camo, so mark off for that right there. And you have a machete instead of a Bowie knife. Mark off for that, too. They failed the redneck already. And you have to go up and kill things with this machete at first in order to hopefully find ammunition for a gun that's, you know, not dog shit. You have four different guns, for lack of a better word. There's the pistol, which is shit, because the aiming of this game is not particularly good. There's a freeze dart gun, which suffers from the same problem and therefore is also really shit. Then you have the two, a halfway decent gun and the gun you want the ammo for. And if you do not find it, you will die. The halfway decent one is a flamethrower. It hits everything in a straight line that comes close to it, and it's great. It does damage to a lot of stuff. It goes over, cover, all that fun stuff. And since it's a constant stream, it's easier to hit things. And then you have the gun you want. It's a Tesla gun. You find a car battery, and then it'll fire off a string of bullshit in front of you, and you can turn around in a circle real quick and kill everything. It's amazing. That's the only gun you want. So, that's what you're doing throughout the game. You kill a zombie, you can get ammunition for one of the weapons. You can get a health potion, which they treat like beer. Or you can get a gold coin. And if you get enough gold coins, you get an extra life. They say you get 100 of them, you get an extra life. But by the time I ended the game, I had 10 lives total in 7,000 coins, so clearly their numbers don't fucking work.
No.
'Cause 100 coins, one life, that would put me over 70, so no.
It's capped at 10?
Maybe, I have no idea. But the issue with this game is, in order to get any of that ammunition, is kind of difficult. Because there's two types of zombies. There's the small ones, which are easy to deal with, because you whack them once or twice with the machete, they die. For them to attack you, they have to be in the same range where you can kill them. The bigger zombies, they're outside of your machete range when they can hit you. So you have to run in, and then hop out as they go to hit, and then run and hit them before they can hit you. And you have to keep doing that over and over, and you're going to get hit. And you can't take a lot of hits, and you have no health potions when you first start a level, or any ammunition when you start a level. So that's it. It's really a game of, will you survive before you get ammunition for a decent gun? And with that, will you survive until you can get health potions so you don't die?
So what's the answer? No?
It's luck-based. It's... any zombie can drop any of the items, so it's all luck based. And if you die enough times, you get a game over. You start right back at the beginning.
Yeah,
there's 11 levels total in this game. The last one being a boss fight, which again you have nothing but your machete at the start of, because fuck you, that's why. And yeah.
All right, let's talk price on this one. 100 coins gets you a life. 499 coins gets your Redneck Joe versus the Swamp Zombies. Give us your verdict.
Bullets are cheaper.
All right. Jacob, that was the first annual April Fool's review wrap-up. What are your thoughts? Are you happy it happened?
I'm waiting for you to review something.
I didn't because I was going to the doctor for the past couple of days trying to get my headaches figured out. Annual? No, it's not going to happen again.
Okay.
Who knows?
I think Bree and I understood this. The rest of y'all, I don't think, did, because y'all are like, oh yeah, it's not a bad game. The fuck?
I mean, if you know, if you can, if you're,
for my art.
If you're into calendars. Obviously
not. You liked your game.
I didn't say I liked it.
We'll have to do it every, like you know, so many years, because Tuesdays don't always occur. You know, the first doesn't always occur on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
we'll do it once every 20 years.
Hold on. So, Joe, if you're not going to review anything, then what game did you, like, what were you going to play?
Winx Club.
Oh.
I paid $10 for Winx Club, and I never played it because of my health.
That's been sitting in my wish list for a while.
Yeah, it's probably better I didn't play it.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know about the game, but I liked the TV show when I was a kid.
It's one of the lowest rated games on TA.
Ooh.
It was like a 1.18 rating on True Achievements.
The first Avatar game rate on me?
I don't think it's that low. It's not a horrible game. It's just an easy 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually played through I think half of it at least. It's good. It's just, you know, you can get that 1,000 points before, like, you even get past the first area if you want.
Interesting. Okay.
You just need to have it is backwards compatible now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, they put it on sale every once in a while.
I thought it wasn't for sale. I thought they delisted it or something.
No, it's still there. Should be.
Oh.
Yeah, back in December, it was $5.
Oh, I thought they delisted it like years and years and years ago.
No, you know what? You're thinking of the Korra game.
Oh. Sure, we'll go with that.
There's only a few games that have a lower rating than Winx Club, and none of them really caught my eye. They have Canadian Football 2017.
I think I have that one.
Scalectrics.
The fuck is that?
It's, you know, those the little mini cars that go on electric tracks. You zoom around cars. Where all you do is just like pull a trigger. That's this fucking game.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah,
we covered it a long time ago. Post-War Dreams, Turtle Quest, Allison's Diary Rebirth, Boom Blaster, and the only game under 1 star on True Achievements, Another Dawn.
Jesus.
Which has a 0.82 rating.
That is painful.
I am now looking this up.
Yeah. I didn't want to spend $17 on that one.
What?
Fuck. Something rated so low, they really want you to spend money on it. Holy shit.
It's like a really bad survival game.
Oof.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for that. Jacob, you sticking around or are you heading out?
I'm heading out.
All right, get the fuck out of here. Okay. You have any final words before we let you go?
Nope, he's gone.
Oh, he left already?
Yep, right when you were in the middle of asking that question, he left.
What the hell? Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. You ready for real reviews now?
Sure. While everyone else is talking, I'm going to go make tacos.
Brunel, you ready? Because you're up first.
Uh-oh. Why the heck not?
All right, let's do this. 5 real reviews tonight. First one, Shadow of the Orient, developed by Space Lab Games, published by Dolores Entertainment, released March 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. Shadow of the Orient is a 2D pixel art action platformer where you play as a young warrior named Xialang, probably fucked that up, who must venture across the Orient fighting hordes of samurai warriors and mythical creatures in an attempt to rescue kidnapped children of the Orient and face off against the Dark Lord. Purnell, what is Shadow of the Orient?
Well, I feel like it's got a, well, I won't say arcade, but yes, an action platformer game where you control this main hero character as you progress through a series of stages, each one having three children that you can find on them. Just meant to end up saying that earlier because you mentioned the whole rescue the children bit. As you traverse the levels, they have both, you know, horizontal aspects and verticality to them as well. So you will be doing a bit of exploring despite it being a platformer game. You're at your disposal by default. You have access to a single jump, a double jump, and a punch attack. And lastly, but pretty usefully, a wall jump. This game gives it to you in such a way where you can wall jump, double jump off of a wall, jump, grab a wall, and do it again, which means if there's an elevation, a tall wall, and you want to get, you know, all the way up it, you don't even need platforms, even though the game gives them to you. You can just kind of scale the bad boy. When you attack enemies as they come at you, your punch attack, which is, again, what you default to, has a very short range. There's a little bit of extra oomph. If you get the full combo, get like a kickoff on the third swing. But for the most part, you're going to be, you know, tasked with, like, you know, some swiffing or hitting enemies and leaving yourself vulnerable at the same time. So the way to go about changing that on every once in a while is to gain access to additional weapons that you might find as you're exploring the levels. If you get an additional weapon, I don't know for sure from what I could tell if it increased your attack power, but all I cared about was that it increased your range. And when you get those weapons, you can use those to kind of do, you know, attack enemies with more reach available to you. In addition to those weapons, though, there's also the occasional sub-weapon you can come across, such as a fireball, which is definitely more powerful than your normal attack, and a knife, which sucks. But hey, at least it goes all the way across the screen, and it has more ammo than the fireball does. Did I mention sub-weapons have ammunition? Well, I'm telling you now, they do. There is also a sort of, I guess, like a weapon that can be described as like the invincible fire wheel from Ninja Gaiden 1 specifically. But the problem with that one, just like it was in Ninja Gaiden 1, is that it has a bad habit of showing up when you don't want it to, because it runs out on its own. You don't get to select when you want to use it. It just triggers, and when it triggers, you're using it. So, alas, you end up setting it up. You get to a section that doesn't have any enemies, and just when you get to an area where you think it'd be useful, it burns out. So, boo earns. Every once in a while, you will also come across a treasure chest hidden on a stage, or actually not think about it. It's almost never hidden. It just exists. But when you do come across it, the chest is locked. But if you look around the level, you can find a key, which can sometimes be hidden. Use that key to unlock said treasure chest. Boom, you'll get some extra money items or the occasional sub weapon or unfortunate fireball that you have no use for at the time. But it's still fun to find the treasure chest, and it's still fun to get the items, especially the money, because there's a shop that exists outside of the actual, like, main game, as if you exit the game and go to the main menu. And that shop allows you to purchase upgrades for your character, including additional weapons that you can use, that are pretty much tied to the money you find during the main game. There are four different currencies that you find during the game, and each of those currencies have specific items in the shop that will unlock with them. So you pretty much need to find as much money as you can of all the types and hope for the best. But again, it's not even a bad thing to find the money, because just like Mario collecting coins, as I always tell people, if only Mario actually could spend that money, I'd be happier to play Mario games and collecting all the coins. So I'm perfectly fine with doing that in this game. There are multiple levels, three acts, and each act has five stages and a boss associated with it. And I feel like that's a pretty decent amount of content for the price you mentioned earlier in the review when you were given the layout of the description. Music in the game is pretty good, and I do like the art, the pixel art that they use for it. So I had no complaints there. Ultimately, this is one of those games where, like, if you don't come into it expecting too much, I think you're going to come away having a good time with it. If you just want some classic action platformer antics, something you could have found on a Super Nintendo, most likely, though maybe not as graphically defined as it is here, I think you'll be happy with this title. I know I was, even though I wasn't expecting it initially, but I'm glad I was now.
All right, well, let's talk price. It is a $10 game. If you pick it up in the next couple of days. I think it's another week on Xbox. You could get it for $7.99. What are your thoughts?
I honestly think it's a buy. It's a fun time, and it's pretty cheap.
Cool. Any other thoughts on it?
I don't know what else I could say. Just buy it. It's fun. Cool.
All right, next up, S Prism Destroyer, developed by Maids with Guns and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released March 19th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $7.99. S Prism Destroyer is a side-scrolling 2.5D shooter inspired by run-and-gun genre classics and mecha anime. Blast through enemy hordes and collect environmental power-ups to unleash the awesome potential of Prism Destroyer attacks. Chase high scores through skillful play and unlock loads of costumes for a more. Chris, what is S Prism Destroyer?
Unique. No, I'm just kidding. It sounded like the word was going to pop up in that description, and yet it did not. I'm both disappointed and also proud. S Prism Destroyer is a side-scrolling run-and-gun, almost roguelike kind of thing that it's a pretty interesting one. So yeah, you play as the girl who I don't know, maybe her name is Prism or something. I don't really know. There's like this whole side story about like,
I think the girl's name is Amor, A-M-O-R.
Yeah, there's like this whole story in like the description, the store's description, but like there's no story in the game. There's a little bit of, you get a little bit if you scroll through the costumes and like look at the descriptions and stuff. But those are just mostly fan service-y type things. Anyway, yeah, so you play as this lady, Amor, I suppose, who is in a mech suit. You actually effectively play as the mech suit. There's no out of the mech suit action or anything like that. You know, think like the assault suit Lanos or something like that kind of series. This one is got a really interesting little presentation. So the best way I can describe it is that the polygon textures used to make up the levels and the overall kind of looks like a Sega CD FMV. In an intentional way. It's just like there's a grain over everything that's just kind of there. It's just like, you know, it's very, like I said, early FMV looking. And also you have, even though you're looking at it's kind of, the perspective's a little weird too, because even though it's a side scroller, you are looking at your mech moving from side to side and jumping and running and stuff. There's a bevel around the action that looks like it's the inside of a mech with a little radar showing the enemies. And on the left side is your character who just silently, with no expression, just looks from left to right, depending on which direction you push. And also, of course, has the boob bouncing physics, when your robot moves or jumps or anything like that. Apart from which, no expression, no like anything like that. Sometimes the character will say things in Japanese. My Japanese is not good enough to know what she's saying, so some of it does sound kind of like, you know, stuff you'd hear in action games type of stuff. But yeah, so the actual gameplay is that you run around and shoot things like other mechs, and the other mechs can look like something like there's a kind of T-Rex looking mech that you kind of start off fighting, and they're pretty cool looking. Nice and red and white so that you can actually see them. Like I said, you shoot, your gun has giant bullets. It takes a lot of them to take down most enemies, so you're going to want to upgrade that, and we'll talk about that in a second. You also jump and have a limited amount of jetpack, like kind of fuel that refills quickly as soon as you land. So that's like a limited kind of, you know, boost or kind of float thing there for, you know, kind of mastering the timing of, you know, not getting shot while you get shot, or rather while you're shooting. So the main kind of thing about this game is that every enemy, a lot of which are like you know, while you do have enemies that are running around, most of them are ground hazards and turrets, at least for the part of the game I played. So a lot of it is just like dumping a ton of bullets into like a turret that's just sitting there shooting you on a timer, you know? And then there's a lot of crates as well. And whenever you defeat an enemy or a crate, you have a potential to pick up a power-up item. So the power-up items are completely random as far as what you're going to get and when and who's going to drop it. And some of them can be quite powerful. There's a three-way, and they also combine. So you get like a turret of your own, like a little option ship almost. You can get like a shield for better defense. You can get health energy, like a health replenishment, which you're going to really need because, again, these things really hit you hard. You can also get like a machine gun type thing, like a spread shot type thing. And like I said, they all, the more you pick up, the more they combine to make your default mech suit a force to be reckoned with. Oh, also, there's a shoulder button that you can hold to like actually aim your gun in eight directions while standing still, kind of Metroid style. And Super Metroid style, I guess you could say. And so that's like kind of cool too. But anyways, so also within stages, you can pick up a different type of suit for a temporary super boost in your abilities, depending on what the suit is. In the first stage, it's a it's like a very fiery suit where like you see flames on all the sides of the stage, and your character has a big old like sword that like takes up half the screen and can be, you know, swooped in various directions for a while. Again, this is temporary, so you just kind of got to make as much progress as you can or defeat as many enemies as you can within the little time limit before you're back to your other suit. The other thing is that the upgraded suits also get like the same kind of extra attacks that you can pick up from enemies as they drop them. Like I said, the main thing about this game is that you only have one life, one health bar, and if that depletes, then you start the entire game over. Yeah, so that's why I said it's kind of like a roguelike. There's a random element to how much progress you can make because you never know when and if you are going to get a health power-up. And the enemies, especially the ground hazard enemies, they just sit there passively on the ground. They damage you if you try to jump over them, and it's like they can also, you know, if you land on them, you might actually get a game over right there. And they take a zillion shots to destroy. So, like, those are the annoying enemies. It's not the ones that you're actually running around and fighting that are actually, like, you know, have some AI to them and are fun. I don't mean the bad AI that we were talking about earlier. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, actual... yeah. I mean, like, actual computer things attacking you. The good AI.
No Ghibli filters.
Yeah, no Ghibli filters here. Just a out-of-this-world filter. for fans of Sega CD deep cuts. I guess they're all deep cuts by now, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it Ground Zero Texas filters. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, so basically what is would be a perfectly suitable run and gun adventure is kind of held back by the fact that it really is just how long can you survive in this game? How, you know, until the RNG blesses you with either like an extremely good set of weapons, which again are only going to be there for like, you know, maybe 15 seconds. I mean, that's 15 to 20 seconds or so is about how long these usually last. You know, how long can you survive on this? Because everything else is just like, it's so deadly. Like I said, the enemies all hit you like a truck. They've all got firepower. And like I said, the ground hazards are just terrible. You know, it's how much score can you rack up before you are forced to, you know, start over again. So, like, that to me kind of holds the game back. I really, really like it otherwise, but I'm just kind of like, well, you know, I'm very familiar with the first couple of levels, that's for sure. I will say there is a global leaderboard as well as a local leaderboard. happy to say, because nobody's played this game yet, I can tell that the top local leaderboard score is number 10 on the global leaderboard, and I'm 5 points below that person, so I'm actually the 15th best player of this in the world right now.
Nice. GG.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I'm sure once other people play this, I'll just disappear from everything. But the last thing I will say is that, yeah, as you progress through the game, you may unlock different costumes for your character, which, of course, will display on the title screen, where she's floating around in space saying things to herself in Japanese, which is actually kind of funny because she's just like T-posing in space, which, I don't know, it tickles me. Or in the hub part, you know, that cockpit screen that I mentioned before, you'll see like the costumes and such, and you unlock them by doing like various things, like achieve 5,000 score in 2 minutes, you know, beat 50 enemies within 50 minutes. A couple of them are pretty crazy, like finish level 1 and 2 without getting hit. So finish level 4 within 5 minutes. I mean, the game moves pretty fast, so I can see somebody doing that, but I can't even get to level 4. So, yeah, basically, it's a cool, interesting game. I wish it was more of a standard run and gun, because I really think they had something here. Oh, it also has a CRT filter that you don't want to use. So, there you go. Oh, and you can also turn off certain things to boost the performance, which I did. And having said, like I said, the game moves very fast, so it's quite nice to do that.
Nice. So let's talk price. $7.99. What do you think?
$7.99 is, yeah, it's good. I mean, that's a good price for it. Like I said, the people who would be mostly interested in this game are like folks who would like a fast kind of hardcore shooter that, like I said, there's no lives. Again, your life bar depletes through whatever circumstance, and you know you are toast. But everything in the game, except for the power-ups, is predictable. It all stays the same. So you know this is definitely a game you can learn and eventually you know beat and eventually speedrun, and maybe it's worth it. Personally, you know, like I said, I would put it in kind of the try it category, just because it kind of starts to feel like a waste of time if you start to dump a lot of time into this and still can't get past like the first couple of levels, and then it's kind of like, well, what's the point? I'm gonna unlock a, you know, maid outfit sometime. So I don't know, I'm a little on the fence about it, only because again it's the one life rule, which yeah. I feel like doesn't really fit this kind of game, especially given that you have to just sit there and grind on like these floor hazard enemies to like destroy them. Like it doesn't move fast enough for this. Yeah. It, you know, do one or the other, you know.
Single life is never fun.
I mean, sometimes it can be, but again, it requires there to be something there to like keep your survivability up, or like, you know, something that makes the experience of that life like good, I guess, just like real life. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a, yeah, it's good, and yet it's kind of, it holds itself back in certain ways that I'm kind of like, oh, you know, there's some misses here, but otherwise it's a good game.
All right. Well, next one to talk about is Soul Dorado Heist, developed by Megalixir Games, published by Sometimes You, released April 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and Windows Store for $9.99 per platform. If you own the Xbox One or PS4 versions of the game, you save 50% off on the current gen versions. You know, if you're into stacks like that. After waking up with amnesia, Alex Thorne finds herself lost and confused in a room she doesn't recognize. A weird flashback tells her that she somehow has been robbing casinos with a mysterious criminal known as the Silent Ace. The police are now on her tracks, and the Silent Ace is about to rob the biggest casino in town, the Soul Dorado. Can Alex discover the truth about her past? Will she find the criminal before the police do? Choose your own path and solve this mystery. Aki, what's going on in Soul Dorado Heist?
Okay. And this, as stated, you're playing as a young woman, and you wake up in a fancy-smancy hotel room with no knowledge of how you got there. And then you start to remember tiny little fragments of things as you freak out. Namely, that it seems like you were helping some schmuck rob a bank, or maybe a casino? Who knows? Except for the player. The player already knows it was obviously casinos. And now, in order to figure out who the fuck you are, because you don't remember anything, not just last night, you don't remember anything. You don't even remember your name at first. So you decide, okay, I need to find this individual. So you look around your room at first, trying to figure out who you are, and then you go down into the lobby, and the first thing that happens is a detective walks up to you, tells you who you are, and it's like, yeah, you're under investigation right now, because we think you might have to do with the recent casino robberies. And you're like, oh shit, that is definitely me. Can't let him know that. What else does he know about me? Because you want to get information about yourself without letting anyone know that you're, you know, obviously a criminal. And so you spend the entire game trying to find the silent ace, this casino robber, before the cops do, so you can get them to give you the information of who you are and all that fun stuff.
Who are you? Who the fuck are you? Who are you? Yeah, I'll play the Who at the end of the show.
Jesus Christ, that was great. Okay, and yeah, so you're going around talking to people. This is a visual novel. I don't think the choices have a ton of difference. There are some choices that can lead you to finding the ace before you're supposed to, which results in you getting thrown out, we'll say, like the criminal scum you are. And yeah, but it seems most of the stuff just gets roundabout different ways to giving you the same information. So like one of the earlier choices is, oh, give me a tour of this place, which immediately gets you sent to slot machines, because again, this is Vegas. There's a choice to go to the bar, there's a choice to go and see where the comedians and other shows are held, but they all kind of end up giving you the same information at eventually. So choices aren't super, super important in this. There's a fact route and then a bunch of you died, you dumb fuck routes. So, great. There are a handful of characters that you get introduced to that play varying importance to the game, and all of which are suspects for you to blame at the end of the game if you so choose. There's an old comedian who's pretty pissy because a magician is basically stealing all of his shows, because, you know, this dude is a terrible comedian, to be quite frank. Joe and Scotty would love him, because all he does is puns and dad jokes. So, there's Mr. Viper, who is the magician that is stealing all the shows, because people actually find him interesting. There's the owner of the Soul Dorado. What the fuck was it called again? Soul what?
Soul Dorado.
Dorado. Named Rebecca, I think it was. There's the detective that's looking into you that seems very fucking fishy the entire time. And there's a couple other characters you get introduced to, but the ones that you get introduced to very quickly in chapter one. There's not very many chapters to this game. There's only three, I believe, in total. I am a good chunk of the way through the second chapter. If it weren't for the fact that I kept being bothered today and I had to do kitchen prep as well, I probably would have finished this game today, but people kept talking to me and I needed to make food today, because yesterday all I ate was some ice cream, and that probably isn't good 2 days in a row.
Yay.
Yeah, this is not a super long game.
In the end, it has four different endings, so there is some replayability to it. And I got to point out, one of the features on the store, stunning and unique art style.
Fucker. I hate you.
There it is. Unique. So, Aki, what do you think of this one for $10?
I want to give one piece of information before that happens. Okay. You mentioned that there's four different endings. You don't have to play through the game four different times. The endings, I'm pretty sure, because again, I haven't gotten to them, but from what I've read, they're just based on who you choose to blame as the criminal.
Oh.
And you got a few different choices from the from the cast that you meet, basically.
Gotcha.
So you can get those basically all at the end. Just make a save before you choose. Choose one, load that up, choose the next one, load up, so on and so forth. And back to what I think of this game. Did you go through the rest of the spiel, or?
Yeah, it's a $10 game. It is currently on sale, I believe, just until launch, so it might just be tonight for $7.99. But if you buy it on Xbox One or PS4, you'll get 50% off the Series and PS5 version and Windows Store. So it's a $10 game. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think it's totally worth buying. However, and this brings me no amount of joy that you could ever understand, for all you people like Scotty, who's fucking useless and just fast forwards through all these types of games, you can't do that with this game. Eat a dick.
That doesn't mean you're can't. Useless.
No. If you don't read a visual novel, you're fucking useless. That's the whole point of the game, is to read it. It's a novel that's in the fucking title.
What would you do if Bree just
auto-text?
Would you call her a loser?
If she sped through it all without reading any of it, yes.
Would you call me a loser?
Yes. Well, you already are a loser. It's fine. This game only allows you to get two of the achievements if you just speed through it. You actually have to play through the fucking game. So, eat it.
So, I'm a loser.
Go fuck yourself.
I will later on, probably. So, it's fine.
Any other thoughts on Soldorado?
Totally worth it. Main character's cute. Go for it.
Cool. All right, next up is Rainbreaker, developed by Studio Fizbin, published by Thunderful Publishing, released March 18th, my birthday, for Steam for $9.99. Rainbreaker is a high-octane action roguelike set in a dystopian medieval punk world. Step into the boots of Sif? Clef? I can't read that. My fearless rebel ready to rid the world of the kingdom's oppression, take down the elite, and lay siege to the queen's grand bastion. Grab your javelin and become the Rainbreaker. Our good friend Andy Sperry, he reviewed this one, and he sent in a recording of himself. I haven't listened to it. I'm just going to edit it in. If it sounds bad, sorry, but Andy, take it away.
In Rainbreaker, you'll take the role of Clef, a former spear sister in the Queen's Guard, now turned rebel against the Empire. Clef aims to take down the Queen of Keys and end the reign of oppression by smashing and blowing up everything along the way. The game is kind of post-apocalyptic, kind of futuristic, medieval punk is how I think it's best described, as shown in the art style. I was really captured by the mix of stone and metal marked with graffiti, and the almost comic book style to the characters. There's not many characters that you'll interact with, though, and I was a little disappointed that this game didn't have just more to it. It felt like it was on the right path, but fell short to a somewhat Hades-like kind of release. Having less isn't a bad thing, though, and with only three main factions, which are the Spear Sisters, Bloodletters, and Trappers, the player can really dial in on a specific playstyle, which we'll get to in a second. See, Clef likes to smash stuff, and she'll do that with her fists or her javelin. She'll have a few punch and dash combos along with javelin abilities that involve throwing or slamming the javelin into the ground to create an explosive blast. The javelin can be switched out as well to create a different quick explosive combos or inflict different status effects. New javelins are found in between level areas in a kind of midpoint shop space where you can heal and buy temporary upgrades with gold you find throughout the levels, and unlocked based on how quickly you make it through the previous stage. You're timed each stage, too. Anyway, Clef will smash and bash, but she needs a little more help, so the factions provide that. Think of the gods in Hades, but again, you've only got three options. Progressing through the level involves a player unlocking these vaults and dropping a bridge, in which she'll be forced to defeat enemy robots with cool and exciting combos. And then she'll be rewarded with some type of boon from one of the three. These boons stack and level up and come in all forms of playstyle bonuses. First, you have the bloodletters, which revolve around health bonuses and enemy bleed damage. The spear sisters, which increase attack and javelin type moves, or also help with overheating, which overheating or overusing your javelin takes it out of play for a moment and can be dropped back faster by punching enemies. The trappers also, who, you guessed it, spring traps and status effects that hold enemies in place. These upgrades stay within the run and are new with every run started. In the main hub, Clef will get the chance to gain permanent upgrades like increased health, more damages, more dashes, stronger attacks, or even more of a chance to find specific style vaults if you're trying to dial in on a specific faction-based run. Rainbreaker, on a base level, is pretty easy to understand, though. Gameplay is full of quick level progression and even faster fights. Not getting hit will stack a combo meter and boost up Clef's power levels, clear the rooms, loot the chambers, and progress to the boss battle. Pretty simple concept and playthrough. If you die, you can use resolve crystals collected throughout the levels to upgrade your permanent stats and try again. There's even what I like to call baby mode or god mode, where your player can become completely invincible. So overall, it definitely feels like there could have been more to the game. And as I've mentioned a few times already, Rainbreaker falls to a Hades-like kind of feel. The battle system is really fun, even if some of the enemies and the level designs feel a little repetitive. The upgrade options are great. Art style is really cool. It's not a super long game for a more experienced roguelite player such as myself, but it was nonetheless a good time. And at $10, I'd easily recommend it with probably 10 hours or so of content. I mean, that's only $1 an hour.
All right, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Myriad Death, developed by Ignition M, published by Hollow Indie, released March 24th on Steam for $8.99. This is an exhilarating action and shooting game where you fight using weapons with different abilities. Purnell, give us more info.
Apparently this has some kind of Hololive tie-in. I was not familiar with what that tie-in was because I'm not familiar with Hololive, but I am familiar with roguelike, you know, bullet hell shmups or shooters, so I'm fine with that. And what I came across,
Hololive member Maury Calliope. Calliope?
There you go.
I don't follow Hololive either, so I really have no idea.
You're here, but you had the cheat sheet description. So, you control her as the main character in this game, as she has been tasked by Death to kill a god that has descended upon the world she is currently living in. Also, she had a memory wipe and some other story bits. I didn't care. I just wanted to kill things. And that, on that note, the game truly does deliver. Typical, you know, room-to-room roguelike structure, action roguelike structure, where each time you enter a room, enemies will spawn into it. And you are tasked with murdering them before you're... Well, actually, not even before. You can leave the room without killing them, but you'd be crazy to do so unless you're dying, because that's how you get all the goods to upgrade your character. So, by default, you have two ways to attack. You have a melee weapon, and you have a firearm, which you can, you know, fire with. Melee attacks, in their own way, that's the part of the game that kind of throws me off a little bit, but I'll talk about that later. But they come in an unlimited amount of uses, though you do get combos depending on the weapon you have equipped. Firearms, however, have a clip size and a maximum bullet size, not a maximum number of bullets you can carry around. So as you fire your gun, you'll eventually need to reload it to fill the clip again, and ultimately you could run out of ammo entirely, and now you just have a dud on your hands. But as you kill enemies, you'll get money from them. You will get souls from them. Money can be spent at stores that are littered throughout the dungeon to buy new weapons, some of which could have different like traits associated with them, like freeze damage or burn damage or an increased attack power every time you kill somebody for a number of seconds, things like that. You can buy healing items and sub-weapons that you can use, like sort of like bomb grenades, to, you know, kind of clear the area around you and potentially clear out some bullets when the going gets a little too tough. Every once in a while, you'll also come across wine fountains. That's a big thing you'll come across per floor, and that allows you to upgrade either your weapon damage, your ranged weapon damage, your melee weapon damage, or your ranged weapon damage by a certain percentage, or you can just straight up get a decent bump to your HP total. You'll want to do that at least once or twice, unless you're some kind of death god like the game wants you to be, in which case, knock yourself out. Just get more power. I won't tell. The usual treasure chests exist too, some hidden rooms that can set you up to kind of be in a better position to fight monsters. And there's teleportation stations to let you kind of warp around the dungeon as needed. And at the end of each dungeon floor, you'll end up fighting a big boss monster, upon which is killing it. You'll get a few treasure chests, including one with a rare, potentially rare weapon in it. And you'll be able to proceed to the next floor. Of course, before going to the next floor, you'll stop by the local, basically an upgrade shop where you can spend enemy souls, which is the other currency I mentioned for killing monsters, to upgrade your character in a number of ways, whether it be unlocking new weapons that can show up in your runs, to increasing the amount of life potions you can carry, or bombs, things like that. So you will always want to kill enemies because you want souls so you can upgrade your character, especially in ways such as letting you carry over money and souls when you die and start a new run, because why wouldn't you want to have a little bit of a leg up on your next run? So the game's music, I think, is where it really both shines and also can frustrate, depending on, you know, how good you are at the game and then some. Each floor has a theme for the floor itself and a theme for the boss. And when you beat the boss, the game will unlock that music to be selectable in the jukebox to be able to be played on future floors. But it'd be nice if there was multiple tracks that would play. And if there was some chance more than I'm expecting, then hey, guess what? I'll unlock those later. But as I noticed, I was getting access to new tracks, but they were just the tracks from the previous floor I did. And I'd rather just listen to the music on the floor that, in respect of what it is. And then next time I get to another floor, just change it up again to the music that plays on that floor naturally anyway. But there hasn't been a banger. There hasn't been a track in this game yet that I would not call a banger. They're all good to listen to. I will say, if you hear the same track for like 20 minutes in a row, you might tire of it a little bit, but
fair.
It's still good music. Still good music. And I was actually humming along to it as I was playing it too, so I think it does well in that department. Graphically, I think the game looks really nice. Nice, you know, sprite characters for it. It reminds me a little bit of like games like Cledon X2, which I was a big fan of for years. So I'm not going to complain about that. It's a good-looking game. Good musically sounding game, and it's not an easy game. You can get your butt handed to you. And the thing that drove me crazy is, and I've yet to really get truly used to it, is how the melee combat in this game works. Like, if you give me a glove weapon or a lance weapon, I can go to town with them monsters with those two. They pretty much have instant immediate effects when I push the button to attack with them. They give you a bit of mobility as you dash around the room, especially with the lance, and it just feels good to use them. You give me a sword or a axe, though, they have this like slight delay in execution, followed by like more delays when you do the spin attacks with them if you go into the combo. And I just found myself on later floors just being swarmed by enemies as I was tosi-doing in a roll spin, waiting for my attack animation to wrap up, or also just wishing that my animation to start the attack was a little faster. But I'm pretty sure that's also deliberate on the game designer's part, which means I need to get good and actually learn to initiate my attack outside of the range of the enemies and then back out and not go into a full combo. But I don't roll like that. I want to mash the damn button. You just heard me talk about too tough. So, yeah, I mash buttons. That's what I do. So, but with that said, it doesn't diminish the fact that I think the game is a good time and a lot of fun. I did go onto the Steam page and see reviews where people were saying it was a replica of another game called Raspberry Mash.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you knew anything about that.
I haven't played it. Of course, I own it, but I haven't played it, so I can't comment on if it is similar to Raspberry Mash. But I will take those guys' word for it. Enough people said it. I don't think they're wrong. So what I'll say then is that if you want, you know, the cheap, chances are cheaper game, because I'd wager that Raspberry Mash is much cheaper nowadays, or at least more sales.
Actually, no, that. It's not.
Really?
It's $14.99 on sale for $8.99, where this one's $8.99 on sale for $7.19.
Well, I feel like this might be the newer,
cheaper one.
Yeah, I would say this is probably the better one then. If you don't already own Raspberry Match and you're choosing one or the other, get this. And I did hear some people say that they believe there were like some additional bosses in this game too, that are like Hololive specific. So, and plus, of course, you got the music. So, I mean, that in itself might make it the better buy. So,
yeah, I think we got to judge this for what it is, not for the other game that we haven't played. For people who've played both, you could chime in better on that. But we got to review Myriad Death based on what it is. So for $9, how is it?
I think this is an easy buy it recommendation. It's a good tone.
Cool. Any other thoughts?
Nah, but just now I kind of want to hear more of this person's music. So I guess it did its job there.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are finished. We are done. That is it for this episode. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. Fitness company being here. Thanks to Bree for being here and hopefully getting her 3 million tonight. Thanks to Jacob for coming on and just being a shithead. Thanks to you three for being here and Aki for also being a shithead. Music this episode, I've got a song from Sixto Sounds called Hot for April from Ninja Turtles. So because it's April.
Fair, April was hot.
I mean, it's April. April Fool's episode. So we're going to listen to April.
There you go.
Anyone have nice. Any final words to end the show?
I have a question for Pernell.
Oh, God. Mm.
Cowabunga!
Now she has a question. Now what?
Yeah, you ruined it. What is this?
Yes, I did. You're question. Welcome. Did you like the music in that game, the last game you reviewed?
That's what I was just saying. Like, I want to hear more of it now because I did like the music in it. It's good.
So if she would have paid attention, she wouldn't have fucked up that ending.
Yeah.
No, I still would have fucked it up. I would have just done it in a different way. You know this. Come on now.
True. Pernell, give us some final words one more time.
Cow fucking bunga. There it is. We're done.